Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s. For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Day first. Happy New Year to you. I feel like it's been a month since we last talked. Good to have you back.
I think so. Happy New Year to you guys, too.
All right. So one of the narratives earlier last year, and probably even going back further than that, was that FANG stocks were a bubble, right? That Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, or Alphabet, they were overvalued. And they were comprising too big a portion of market cap-weighted indexes. And now, if you look since the highs last summer, they've collectively shed something like over $1 trillion in market cap. Of course, last week we saw Apple make a lot of headlines. They lowered revenue guidance. There were concerns over iPhone sales in China, and the stock was down like 10% on Thursday. So, look, we'll discuss some of the ETF impact here. But first, wasn't that bubble narrative correct, at least to a certain degree, given what we've seen here recently?
Sure. I mean, you can look at the valuations of the FANG stocks and sort of FANG adjacent stocks like Microsoft that obviously play really strongly in a lot of big indexes. And sure, they've all come down a lot on a PE basis, on a objective AUM basis, however you want to look at it. They've definitely come down. So in hindsight, we can say it's a bubble. But I think where people get a little bit woolly-headed in their thinking is by looking at just how concentrated a portfolio is without looking at those valuations. I mean, Apple, sure, it's been hit, but it got hit in the sense that it came down from a PE of about 18 to a PE of about 12. Now, that's obviously not great if you're a shareholder, but PEs of 12 are not something we think of as being giant bubbles. If you look at the other FANG stocks, you know, Netflix and Amazon traded PEs of over 100. So I think we have to be careful when we look at these stocks. And really think about what their businesses are and be a little fundamental, even if we're ETF investors.
Well, so let's talk a little bit more about that, because I think with the FANG stocks in particular, there have been comparisons made to the telecom and internet bubble back in the late 90s,
sure.
Right? Financial stocks running up prior to the financial crisis. So how concerned do you think investors should be when they see a group of stocks or a sector run up and become a bigger overall piece of the market?
Well, I think you just have to ask how much you believe in that, which I think is the question investors have to ask all the time anyway, right? If you're doing something other than simply buying the entire market, you're making some sort of call, even if that call is as simple as being a little overweight U.S. equities versus, you know, international equities. Whatever that call is, you're expressing an opinion. So it's reasonable to look and say, hey, you know, I'm in the S&P 500. That's 3.5% Microsoft. That's 3.5% Apple. You know, that's a lot of my, you know, exposure in two big stocks. How much do I believe that? And obviously, there are all sorts of tools you can use to try to mitigate some of that exposure. It doesn't mean you have to dump all your S&P funds. It doesn't even mean you have to dump your tech funds if you happen to be a tech bull. It just means you have to be a little more thoughtful about your options.
All right, so that's a good pivot. And let's talk ETFs. And I want to focus in on Apple, because right now, there are some 260 ETFs owning Apple stock, about 292 million shares of Apple altogether. And by the way, I have to mention, ETF.com has a fantastic tool, a stock finder tool. Basically, if you type ETF.com/stock/whatever stock ticker you want. So for example, ETF.com/stock/AAPL for Apple, the tool will pull back all the ETFs owning that particular stock. You can see which have the highest percent exposure, which own the most shares outright, those sorts of things. So currently, the Technology Select Sector Spider Fund has the largest allocation to Apple at nearly 17%. The Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, that holds the most shares outright, over 52 million. I guess first, let's get the most obvious question out of the way. Do ETFs have an outsized impact on Apple stock? In other words, is the tail wagging the dog at all here?
Well, I think that's a bit of a ridiculous thought, right? So if you look at the holders of Apple stock, sure, you're going to see the big index players, Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street, up at the top of the leaderboard. Vanguard owns something like 7% of all Apple stock. BlackRock owns something like 6%. State Street about 4%. But it's important to remember most of that is tied up in broad market indexes, right? The single biggest holder of Apple stock is actually the Vanguard Total Market ETF. So obviously, Vanguard is not selling their Apple shares unless they happen to have a drawdown in their total market exposure, which isn't what they're saying there. Actually, most of those big broad indexes actually saw inflows for most of 2018. So the question is, well, then who is impacting that? And if you look further down the list of holders, you end up with more likely suspects, people like Berkshire Hathaway or Fidelity or Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs, right? These are places where active managers may, in fact, be selling their Apple positions and driving those shares down. I think the real story here is it's individual investors, it's day traders, it's hedge funds that actually end up setting the price on a day-to-day basis.
All right, so now that we have that out of the way, hopefully once and for all, I had to ask you that. Investors do have some decisions to make when investing in ETFs, right? You can go down the market cap weighted path, something like the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF, VOO. Apple is currently the second largest holding there at 3.5%. You can go equal weight with an ETF like the Invesco S&P 500 equal weight ETF, RSP. Or there's even a reverse cap weighted ETF, RVRS, which weights holdings by the inverse of their market cap, right? So Apple barely even registers in that ETF. Can you maybe, just at a high level, talk about some of the pros and cons of each of these weighting strategies?
Sure. So the pros of them are pretty obvious. So an equal weighted strategy like RSP, once a quarter, it's going to go out into the market, sell some of its winners, and reinvest those proceeds in some of its losers. And that's a pretty common investing strategy that, you know, single stock pickers have used for years and years and years. You know, take some profits, reinvest in some things you still believe in that have now become value stocks by accident. So that's a time-honored strategy, and something like RSP does that for you. Now, what are the cons to that? Well, obviously, if you're just trying to mimic the market, you're not going to. If Apple has a great run up, you're going to miss a bunch of it because you're only going to own a tiny, you know, 30 basis point position in Apple. There's also the transaction cost. So every time that rebalance happens on a quarterly basis, there's the opportunity for some capital gains because you are selling things that have gone up. And people tend to not like capital gains distribution. So equal weighted strategies, all else being equal, pardon the pun, are more likely to pay out a capital gains distribution. And then it's worth pointing out, most of those funds are more expensive than the 3, 4, 5 basis point low cost beta we're used to.
What about something like a reverse cap weighted or even, you know, other alternatively weighted strategies? I think there was a new S&P 500 ETF actually released yesterday that tries to group stocks into different risk buckets. Any thoughts on those alternatively weighted strategies?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're all interesting. Like, I think the reverse weighted one is a particularly interesting idea because it sort of helps you back into some equal weighting. So for instance, if you happen to have a big S&P 500 exposure in your retirement account because that was the option you had, you could use something like reverse to sort of mitigate some of that top heaviness by effectively loading up on the bottom end of the curve, some of the more mid-cap stocks there. So I think that's an interesting strategy. I do think investors need to be careful what they wish for. You know, we're talking now about sort of this quote-unquote overexposure that you have in Apple, but nobody was really complaining about that last year when Apple was, you know, going straight up. So you do need to recognize that these things are going to be a double-edged sword.
Do you have an opinion on how much concentration is too much for a particular stock in an ETF? You know, if you look at some of the primarily tech-focused ETFs, something like Apple does have a weighting north of 8, 9, 10%. Any thoughts on how much is too much?
Yeah, I personally, like, if I'm thinking about sector rotation strategies or making, you know, what is, let's call it, it's a bet, right? If you buy XLK, the technology select sector spider right now with its 17% Apple position, you are making a pretty aggressive bet on that being a sector that rallies over some time frame. I do think sometimes you're better served with an equal weight type approach when you're looking at a sector because the single stock blow-up risk becomes more and more of an issue the more concentrated you get, the more, if you're in a sector or even a subsector, like I don't know, oil services or telecommunications, there you're really exposing yourself to one bad earnings announcement kind of derailing your whole strategy. So it puts you in this position of potentially being right, say, about technology finding a bottom, but being wrong because one or two of those stocks happen to be outliers in a bad way. So there are equal weighted options in all of these sectors. In the technology space, in all of the sectors, there are options here that you can use to reweight that exposure.
Dave, about 2 minutes left. As I was looking at the different ETFs owning Apple, it's interesting. You know, there are all sorts of different ETF strategies: growth, value, other factor-based ETFs, ESG, all owning Apple stock. Anything at all to take away from that?
Yeah, I think the point here is that Apple, like Microsoft and a few other giants, ExxonMobil comes to mind, these are stocks that have become sort of proxies for entire sections of the market, however you want to define that, not just sectors, right? So when you look at something like, I don't know, the consumer satisfaction ETF, well, people love their Apples, right? They love their Macs, they love their iPhones. There's 4% exposure there. So I think as you go through those various strategies, you're inevitably going to stumble across some of these companies that have become just huge chunks of the U.S. economy, whether that's, you know, dividend strategies, whether that's a mega cap strategy or growth strategy or a value. Reasonable people define those things differently, and Apple's going to show up in a lot of them.
Well, Dave, great way to kick off the new year. Appreciate you joining us. We'll chat again next week.
See you then.
That was ETF.com's Dave Nottig.